Hi, I'm Serena, and this is my co-host, Mike, and you're listening to Diapers and Deployments, Who's Got It Worse? The podcast that talks about all things military, the good, the bad, and the oh shit.
On today's show, Mike and I are going to talk to our kiddos, and then we're going to introduce you to our first celebrity guest. This podcast is supported by SkillMill Corporation, helping veterans transition to the civilian workspace.
All right, Serena, how was your week?
It's been a week. Just going.
One of those, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to give my kids a little bit of free rein with their schooling because, like, I guess the past 12 weeks I've been, like, kind of breathing down their throats, making sure everything is done. And with my third grader, I kind of have to do that a little bit because of technology. But with my sixth grader, I'm like, all right, man, come on. You can do this. And I'm not bragging or anything, but he's got A's and everything. So I'm like, can I just walk away for a minute? Can I go do laundry? Can I go do my own job? Can I go do stuff without watching? And the control in me is itching.
He's freaking out.
Yeah, but I'm trying to let it go. Like right now they're upstairs in class and here I am talking to you. And I'm like, I hope they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Anytime someone says, let it go, I start singing inside my own head. Just like,
yeah. How's your week?
Well, you know what? I've been busy, but it's actually been a great week. It's been very productive. My wife got extended in her job, so that's good for us. That means I can, you know, make a little bit more money, spend her money on me, you know, things like that. So,
happy. So the other way around than how it used to be, right?
Yeah, I say that. We both know that shit ain't true. What's mine is hers, and what's hers, I don't know where in the hell it goes.
Yeah, right.
Well, actually, I do. I'm going to tell you right now, if Amazon doesn't stop at my house every day, then I know something's wrong.
Gosh, is that not the freaking truth? I swear to God, I wake up every morning and there's like six packages already on my porch. Oh, I'm like, who's ordering this shit?
Seriously, yesterday, a white van, it was late at night, drove by and she said, I wonder if that was Amazon. I said, no. She goes, oh, it didn't have their name on the side. I said, no, it didn't stop.
Well, I mean, we've had like U-Haul vans pull up in our driveway, dropping off packages. We've had personal vehicles pull up, dropping off packages. There is some stuff.
I see strange cars do that too. I'm just like, I'm used to seeing the Amazon trucks, but you know, before the Amazon trucks were everywhere, it was personal vehicles because my friend did that. He drove into this Amazon warehouse. It was the coolest thing, right? I went with him one day. You drive in there, you got like 10 minutes. There's a line of cars. They let you in. If you don't get the stuff in your car, it's sitting there ready for you. Then you go back out of the warehouse and you start again.
That's wild.
Yeah. They had a system and you put it all in your car and you had anywhere from 40 to 50 packages, I guess, to deliver. And you had a 4-hour block. So if you deliver faster, they just paid you by the block, not by how long you work. I don't know if they use that business model anymore or just the trucks. I think they use both, honestly.
Wow. I mean, they're efficient. I'll tell you that. I mean, we live in obviously the Seattle area, so we can order something like laying on the couch at 10 o'clock at night. And it is legit on the porch the next morning.
I know. You're like, there's an elf. There's a little magical Amazon elf running around with my shit.
Well, I got one of those running around my house too, causing trouble all over the place as well. But you know, this morning I was feeling giving. So I did put a little box out on my front porch with stuff in it, like snacks and drinks and protein shakes in case anybody wants one, because I feel for them. I can't imagine what it is like right now during this time of year delivery. When I say this time of year, I mean in 2020 period, because you know, everybody's ordering shit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody's ordering from home. I mean, my shopping habits have changed significantly. You know, at first during this, I spent less money, but I find myself spending more money now because it's so easy.
That's totally true. I mean, I can totally vouch for that. I'm spending, I think, more time on my phone as well. Yeah. So I'm seeing things that I probably wouldn't have normally seen.
and you normally don't walk into Walmart hammered, but you can grab your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. After my last surgery last 2 weeks ago, they gave me Valium as a medicine to recover. I have never in my life had that be a thing, but they issued me Valium and they said to Brandon, don't let her have her cell phone when she takes this.
Oh God.
And Brandon was like, okay, why? And they were like, because you will end up with too many packages. And I was like, let me just have my phone.
So what'd you order, Serena? I'm just kidding.
Oh, I finished my Christmas shopping. So that's,
all right. Yeah. Everybody got a little something extra, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know about you, Serena, but COVID, I've been ordering everything. We talked about, of course, the normal stuff, but these fast food places are killing me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to have Brandon pick something up on his way home from work. I can call. I mean, especially now that all these like nicer restaurants are doing like, so it's not just fast food. I mean, we can go to like an actual restaurant and I can have him pick stuff up.
You know, what's really funny though, before COVID, I was like, I am not spending $50 on this nice meal just so I could pick that shit up in a box and bring it home. I want the experience of sitting down, eating. And now I'm like, hey, won't you pick up those steaks on the way home from Outback?
I know, right? I'm that type of mom that I'm like, a mess is a mess is a mess. If we go out to eat, is the only way for me to not have a mess. If I don't cook, but we still pick up takeout, I still have a mess to clean. And I hate that crap.
Well,
we've been doing it more often
than
I care to admit. I'll say that.
You know, at the end of the year, you get these credit cards. It's like a pie chart. It shows you how much you spent and different places and everything. And I'd rather look at my American Express. Like, I don't know how much of that's going to be entertainment and food.
Yeah. For real, that's going to be an uneven pie.
Yeah. Housing, 2%. Food,
yeah.
30%. Yeah.
I tried to make a meal plan that, like, I sat down with Brandon because we're about to retire. Like, we need to be watching what we spend. He's losing his job. I keep saying, you're losing your job in 4 months. Oh, God. And I was like, you know what? I like to cook, number one. I have all of the means to do it. I have lots of spices and I have a lot of stuff in the house. And so I'm like, I need to just make a meal plan every week. And so I do that. And we give ourselves one day a week to eat out, whatever we want.
Oh, man, you're whatever. Good.
But I mean, I kind of had to crack the whip a little bit because it was getting a little crazy.
Right.
So the first week was a shit show because my kids don't want to eat anything I cook. They act like I'm feeding them poison. I'm a good cook. So yeah, anyway, my little hellions are always complaining about what I'm cooking and they kind of like it, kind of don't like it. I guess I'll eat it, which I'm like, absolutely eat it because I'm not a short order cook. Those little shits were acting like they were actually choking at dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds like you're a great cook, Serena.
You know what? I'll invite you over sometime and cook for you.
I don't need to see anybody else choking. All right. On the boat, I had a guy choking in front of me. You know, I'm the chief of the boat. I'm sitting there and facing this other table and there's this guy and he's looking at me and his face starts turning a little red, which, you know, I don't know. Somebody told him choke. I don't know what's going on. And then he gives me the international signal, right? He puts his hands. I was like, oh, this guy's choking. Here's my chance. No, I'm just, it just out of instinct, you know, I pulled him up. I went behind him and I put my hands on his chest. Or right up under there,
and you did the Heine lick remover.
Oh, the Heine lick, yeah, I did. I guess he spit out something, right? But I'm behind him, I don't see it, so I keep going for a little bit, right? I'm just like boom, 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 and I guess the pain and the noise he was making was not that he was choking at that point. It's that I was crushing him to death.
But like, did it really work? Like, was he really choking that hard that you need? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it worked. But the story was after that, they're like, yeah, you know, the guy had, you know, had a little chicken bone in his neck or had a little chicken bone and said, Mike got it out. He said, but hell, for 20 minutes, he kept pushing. He said, you know, he said, I don't know what he was doing to the guy, but, you know, he thanked me, but he was sore for a while. I heard. I kind of avoided him for a couple of weeks there.
You saved his life. Maybe, I mean, hopefully he wanted to be saved at that moment in time. God knows what you all were doing. Oh, my
God. Yeah.
What was he choking on? Do you remember?
I think it was chicken. Chicken.
That's hilarious.
I still, every time I see that guy, I think about the look on his face when I was done. I think I did hurt him pretty bad. But you know what? Hey, you're right. I saved his life. He should be thankful.
He should forever. Indebted to you.
All right. All right, Serena. So what are you drinking this week?
So up here in the Pacific Northwest, there is a cider company called One Tree Hard Cider. And during the holidays, they make a cider called Snow Globe Hard Cider. And it's like a cinnamony, cranberry, citrusy cider. But the cool thing about it is it's glittery. So like when you shake it up, it's all glittery. When it's so cool.
It's like Goldschlager.
Yeah. Remember? It's way prettier than that, but also it tastes way better than that. It doesn't burn your whole esophagus. And
oh, so that apple cider doesn't do anything strange to you, does it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I should say this, but I thought since I was drinking glitter, was glitter going to come out?
If you pee glitter, call me. I need to know.
Yeah. I didn't, but yeah. I was curious if I would, yeah. But it's really cool. And it's actually really good. One Tree Hard Cider. I think all of their ciders are really good, but this one specifically, the Snow Globe during the holidays is really yummy, and you can't get it anywhere, but up here in the Pacific Northwest, you can order it online. But when it's at Costco, I buy all the bottles. I bought 10 of them the other day.
Oh, we may have a problem. I'm just kidding. I got some Southern Tier Double IPA. You know, I'm an IPA guy. I'm pretty sure this one's like out of New York or something. And I don't normally drink anything out of New York, but it's good. It's nice and strong, nice and hoppy. It kept me married another week.
God bless Regina.
God bless IPAs. I got a surprise for you. My daughter Michaela is home from college, and she was telling me a story a couple of days ago. And I said, oh my, I said, we got to get on the air and you got to tell that to Serena. You remember she used to babysit for you in Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
she used to babysit one of mine. The other one was too little. Well, right. She was there, but she was a baby infant.
Your boy, right? I'm not sure if he's going to remember this, but I'm going to let Michaela talk to you.
How are you, Keegan?
Good. How about you?
Good. Do you remember we had just sat on the couch to watch some TV, and I believe you were obsessed with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the time.
Okay.
And for all of about maybe 15 minutes, you were on Amazon ordering very specific things. You knew exactly what you wanted. Well, I thought you were just playing on your tablet. And your mom texted me and said, how is Keegan ordering things on Amazon? And I looked over and you were just shopping away. You knew exactly what you wanted, didn't you?
So I do remember being told that I was ordering stuff from Amazon.
You ordered so much stuff. He ordered like underwear and toothpaste, like the most random stuff. But I kept getting all these alerts on my phone, and he literally ordered all kinds of crap.
I remember the underoos. Specifically, he ordered underoos.
Yeah.
So how old was he when all this happened?
Probably 5 or 6 years old at that time.
Oh my God. How much did he order?
It was about $300 to $400 to $500. What was happening was it was like those auto ship things. So it was complete and I couldn't stop it. And I had to wait till the stuff got delivered. I had to return it all from there, which no big deal. But I kept getting alerts from the bank. All the transactions were going through. And I was like, what is going on?
And that's the reason my daughter stopped babysitting.
Hey, you know, I just needed to make sure that the house didn't burn down. And if it was going to burn down, someone was going to get the children out of it. And that's all I needed. I used to put the baby to bed. And then you'd come over and then you just had this rascal.
And we would sit there and watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and he would order on Amazon.
Kind of sounds like my day every day.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that's what everyone does for a living now, right? Uh-huh. Well, thank you, Michaela, for talking to Serena. Hawaii was great. I mean, I loved it. I think about it every day. I'm not sure about you, but I really told people that was the best time of my life.
I loved living there. I don't know if you know this, but Brandon and I were stationed there for 10 years total. He was on 5 years on one submarine and then 5 years on the Cheyenne. That's a lot of time. I mean, he's only been in the Navy 20 years and half of it was spent there in Pearl, and I miss it.
Yeah, I do too. And we had some great friends out there. We had some great times. You know, I rode my motorcycle, of course, I don't know, every day is probably exaggerating, but I rode it all the time because the weather out there is just amazing. You know, so many great friends out there and great communities. One of these days I say I'm going to move back, but my wallet says otherwise.
You know, that's the only thing that keeps us away from there is the cost. If it wasn't so far away and if it wasn't so expensive, I think we would have tried to stay there the whole time.
Well, you know, on today's show, we have a guest that we knew out in Hawaii. Robert Patrick is going to come on the show. He also loved Hawaii. I figured this was a good time to bring him on and introduce you to him because you have never met him, right?
No, I have not. I was left out of all those fun.
Will this be your first celebrity interview?
This will be my first celebrity interview.
Well, don't get too nervous. Let's see how this goes. Hey, a lot of you people out there may know Robert Patrick. We got him on the show. Robert, welcome to the show.
Michael, Serena, it's so great to be here with you. Michael, yeah. It's been a while since we met in Hawaii. You were the chief of boat for real, and I was playing a fictional chief of boat doing a show for ABC called Last Resort.
Oh, man, Last Resort seems like yesterday. And, you know, being chief of the boat seems like yesterday. But it's been 8 years, I think.
Wow. Has it been 8 years? Wow.
It has.
And that's something. I remember I had a great meal. You're a hell of a cook. You had a wonderful family out there, and we had a good visit. You gave me some pointers on being a chief of boat, and I really appreciated your time and the time I had with your family. So it's great to hear hear from you again.
Hey, man, it was great having you. I'm going to tell a quick story about that. When you came over, I didn't tell anybody you were coming over. No pictures, none of that stuff. We were just hanging out. And Serena, you know I didn't invite anybody because you're pissed, right?
I was just about to say, I'm going to forever be upset that I wasn't invited.
I know. Shelly up the street, this lady named Shelly, her kids were at my house and were supposed to have left by then. And she had to come and get them and you were already there. So I didn't want my neighbors to know that you were there. I didn't want a bunch of people around. And I said, hey, Shelly, just so you know, Robert Patrick's in the kitchen. And I don't think she put your name together with you. Like she looked at me. She's like, okay. And then you walked out and the look on her face, right? She's like, hi. And then you were just nice, like normal. I mean, you're humble. You're like, hey, I'm Robert. 2 days later, she goes, you didn't tell me T-1000 from Terminator was in your kitchen.
Yeah, it takes a while. That's not the first time that happens. They don't really know the name and they associate it with the T-1000 character. But once they get their eyes on me, maybe that changes. You know.
I know Serena's a huge fan. Serena, what's your favorite show?
I loved The Unit and I watched it religiously. And of course, I watched Sons of Anarchy religiously. And my kids watched Spy Kids on repeat forever when it was first out. Your voice was always on my television.
There you go. I like that. Invading your living room.
Yeah.
Well, Spy Kids was Robert Rodriguez, of course, and he's a fantastic director, and he makes a lot of great films for the kids to enjoy. Spy Kids was certainly one I had a lot of fun doing. I really loved doing The Unit. The Unit was Sean Ryan, who was also the creator of Last Resort, interestingly enough.
Oh, okay.
He's done quite well, but The Unit was a great experience for me. My grandfather was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. He had fought in World War I, got out, and he went to college. He played football at New Hampshire, and then when World War II broke out, I think he had a steak restaurant in Boston. He gave that up and went back into the Army, served in World War II, Korea, got a Bronze Star somewhere. He actually passed away when I was 5, but I have such vivid memories of the colonel, my grandfather, being at Fort Bragg. I certainly understand the importance of our military and the hardship the families go through. And it's been something that experiencing as an actor is one thing, but trying to do things in my private life to help out with veterans and their issues is something that I enjoy as well. So I'm honored whenever I get a chance to play a character in the military and try to do the best job I can.
Yeah, well, I told Serena, that was one of the things when I met you. I said, there's three things this guy loves. He's a family guy, first and foremost. That's it. He loves America. He loves our veterans. And he loves to ride motorcycles.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And somehow I've figured it out and I've got it all. I'm still having a lot of fun with the acting roles that I'm getting and the opportunities I'm getting. But I recently became the co-owner of Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita with a good friend of mine, Oliver Shoku, who is a 40 plus year Harley Davidson dealer. He owns one and we ended up buying one together. So it's a lot of fun. It's been interesting. You know, the Harley Davidson Motor Company has been with the American Armed Forces all the way from World War I to It's a neat thing for me to have a business that's my other passion besides acting. We do a lot of stuff for the veterans as much as we can. I think when we met, I had been doing some of the Ride to the Wall,
right,
which is Rolling Thunder's demonstrations for the veterans that came home from the Vietnam War. They were protesting the fact that they knew that there were still POWs there and they wanted accountability for them, and they wanted the government to do something. So they started a demonstration. They ended up doing 32 or 33 years of riding to the wall. And it started at first because there was no memorial for these guys, you know.
Oh, and what a beautiful memorial that is now.
And now they've got that. And so they ride to that wall and they demonstrate and try to bring attention to the POWMIA issue, which they have done and made the government accountable and actually exposed the fact that the POWMIA issue had been going on since World War I. So there's 84,000. So we dedicated a chair of honor and we had the Marine Corps color guard there and we did a presentation. We had Tim Busden, who's a veteran with the Harley-Davidson Motor Company. With great fanfare, we revealed this. And as far as I know, I'm the only dealership on the West Coast that has a permanent chair of honor for the POW-MIA.
That's awesome, man. And the next time I get ready to buy a Harley, you know where I'm going.
There you go. Come on out to Santa Clarita.
You're going to the Wild West.
Yeah.
The cool thing is that you could come out and buy it from me, and then you got to ride it back cross country to Alabama.
I know. Ain't nothing wrong with that, my friend.
That's the way to do it.
Then you could stop in Kansas City and see us on your way down.
Yeah.
There you go. Are you in Kansas City?
I'm currently in Washington State, but my husband retires in a couple months and we are moving to Kansas City. He served with Mike on the Cheyenne when we were stationed in Hawaii together.
Well, I got to tell you, that submarine life, that's an interesting life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't talk about it. I can talk about how interesting it is on the surface.
Well, I tell you, you know, Robert, that's one of the things we do on this show is we contrast people that go down range and actually do the war fighting and go out to sea. But the spouses that you leave at home, I mean, their life is just as hard as ours sometimes, or worse sometimes, depending on what you're doing. So, Serena, you can talk about it, because I'll tell you, you did not have it easy, you know, taking care of everything when we're going months at a time. So
that's a real sacrifice. The men and women that serve, they go off on these deployments. You know, the family has to deal with everything back home. It's a tough part. I mean, the whole family serves when somebody is in the military. We all know how important home is to us, and it's tough to be away from them for a long period of time. We do it as actors. It's a different sort of a deployment. I mean, we're not at war or, getting shot at or something like that. But similarly, we have the same long periods away from our families.
Right.
And it can be tough.
I have one of my friends who, and I won't mention his name, it's not fair, but he's pretty famous and he spends a significant amount of time away from his family. And he says, Mike, it doesn't matter how much money you have or what you're doing when you're away from your family, you're still away from your family. And he has the same feelings about his family as I have about mine. So spending time away from your family sucks. That's, you know, it just does.
I'm about to go away for 6 months. And, you know, we've been dealing with, you know, relocating and how we're going to do it. Of course, what they added with the COVID stuff, we've got, I'm going to another country. So they have protocol that I've got to adhere to. And I think my wife's going to be able to come for half of the time with me. And I want to get my dog up there and the logistics, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You got to leave the homestead behind and relocate for all that time.
I'm in the middle of that right now. COVID is really causing some problems with that, making sure the movers can be here on time. And I don't know what it's going to look like job-wise and with COVID restrictions. I'm sure all interviews now for my husband are going to be virtual. Zoom or Google. It is really throwing a monkey wrench in an already difficult time.
Tell Brandon to make sure he wears a full suit during those interviews, because I've seen some mess ups on Zoom on the internet.
Yeah, the whole Zoom thing is a whole new thing, right?
It's a whole new world.
You got to be careful.
I keep you on here forever, but I know you don't have a ton of time. I do appreciate you coming on, man. And like I told Serena, you love veterans and you love America and you love Harley Davidson's. And it's great to talk to you again. And thank you so much for coming on.
It's great to hear your voice. Things are going great. I'm going to mention a little bit about AmVets is going to be doing the Ride to Remember, hopefully this May. We, the public, we have to support and do whatever we can to help our men and women of the armed forces and support them for the sacrifices they make for us.
Well, I know Serena feels the same way I do. The people that have served and are serving appreciate people like you and everything people around the world do to support us and all those great events. It means the world to us and all the letters we get from the grade schools when we're deployed and, you know, just the outpouring of emotion really, really helps out in tough times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Robert. Well, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next time if you want to come back on and, you know, when you open up your next Harley shop.
I think one is enough. One is enough right now.
All right.
But I appreciate it. So great to talk to you both.
You too, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome, too.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diapers and Deployments, brought to you by SkillMill.
Go to SkillMill.com to check out our blog and create an account. You can also find us on social media. Let us help you find your next career.
Don't forget, that's Skill with two L's and Mill with one.
Until next time.